start Maseches Baba Basra, the longest Masechta in Shas. We'll finish it, hopefully, Be'ezras Hashem, around Purim time. So let's get started. Before we begin Maseches Baba Basra, Tosus has a comment about what Maseches Baba Basra is doing here, right after Maseches Baba Metzia. So Tosus points out, Kula, the first Tosus in the Masechta, Kula Nezikin Chad Masechtahi, that, as we've mentioned many times before, all of Nezikin, meaning all of Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, is really one big Masechta. Kedam Rin Ba'agos Al Kama, like the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Kama, Parakamad Avod Zara, and Maseches Avod Zara. Says Tosus, Va'afilu Lo Havi Chad Masechta, even if it were not all one Masechta, we would still need to explain what Baba Basra is doing after Baba Metzia. Meaning what Tosfos says is that if it's all one Masechta, then for sure we need to explain what it's doing here, because within one Masechta we would need to explain why Rebbe arranged the Masechta itself in this way. But then Tosfos says, even if it's not one Masechta, we also have to explain why Shas was arranged in this way, why one Masechta is arranged after the other. Like the Gemara Misach Shavuos asks, Michti Tanami Makos Salak Maitshna Diktani Shavuos V'chein Bekama Mekamos. The Gemara in several places asks what one Masechta is doing after another Masechta. So that also has to be dealt with, even if we were going to assume that Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra were separate Masechtas, we would still need to deal with what Baba Basra is doing over here. V'hada Amar Betrei Masechtos Ein Seder L'Mishnah. Tel says, aye, but you might be wondering, that don't we say that in two Masechtos ain't Seder the Mishnah, there's no order to the Mishnayos from one Masechta to the other? So doesn't that indicate that if you hold Baba Basra as a separate Masechta from Baba Metzia, that there's no need to explain what it's doing here? Because after all, ain't Seder, there's no order to the Mishnayos. So why bother explaining what it's doing here? There's no order at all. It's not here, it just happens to be that we learn it after Masechtos Baba Metzia. But there's no set order to the Masechtos. So he says, no, Hainu le'inyin machlokas v'achkach stam. When we say that ain't seder the Mishnah from one Masechta to another, that means if you are trying to follow the rules of machlokas v'achkach stam, where you have a machlokas in one Mishnah, and then a stam Mishnah that assumes like one of the deos in that machlokas, one of the shitos in that machlokas, so normally we would follow that shita of the stam Mishnah, but you're not going to say that from one Masechta to another. Why? What's the rule of Machlokas V'achkach Stam? The assumption is, if you have a Machlokas and then a Stam, the Rebbe initially taught that it was Machlokas, but ultimately settled on one opinion as the one that's the opinion that we Paskin like. But that's only within one Masechta. But if you have a Machlokas in one Masechta and a Stam in the following Masechta, you're not going to say that, assume that Rebbe ultimately settled on the sheet of the Stam, Mishum de Rebbe lo shana l'talmidav k'sedra Masechtos. Because when Rebbe learnt in Yeshiva, he had some sort of cycle, but it was pretty much what the Talmidim wanted to learn, and it was not the order of the Masechtos that we have. He did not start with Brachos and end with Nida. He went in whatever order he wanted. So since he wasn't going in order when he was learning it, the fact that there's a Stam in a later Masechta and a Machlokas in an earlier Masechta doesn't show that Rebbe ultimately settled on the Stam, because Rebbe may have taught the Stam before he taught the Machlokas. So that's where we say that there's no Seder to the Mishnayos from one Masechta to another. But when it comes to why, when Shas was arranged, Bab Basra is after Bab Metzia, Bab Metzia is after Bab Kama, etc., that there is a reason for, it's just that in terms of Machlokas V'achkach Stam, we're not going to assume a Seder. So bottom line is, Tosfos establishes there is a reason why Baba Basra is here. Now he hasn't explained what the reason is, but he says whether you hold that it's one big Masechta, or whether you hold that it's several Masechtos, there is a reason that Baba Basra is here. What is that reason? So the truth is, it's fairly obvious. We've pointed it out as we were going through the last parak of Maseches Baba Metzia. Va'omari dahainu taima mishum dekai ahach pirka dela'el. It flows beautifully from the last parak of Baba Metzia. Habayis fa'aliyah shel beis shenaflu cholkim be'etzim. What was the last parak of Baba Metzia about? You have two people who are sort of neighbors, upstairs, downstairs neighbors. The one person lives in the top floor, one person lives in the bottom floor. The place falls down. What do you do with the avanim? How do they divide it properly? The kari luasam b'gemara shutvin, and the gemara refers to those people as what? as shutfin. V'ketaninami beis gino zu al gav zu. And also, the Mishnah at the end spoke about two gardens, one that are neighboring each other, and there's only a hill in between them. And we were discussing who gets the vegetables that are growing on that hill. V'yerek benetayim, davi inyan shutfus. That's also an issue relating to shutfin and neighbors, which is exactly what our Mishnah is going to deal with. You're dealing with shutfin in a chatzer, and they're becoming neighbors because they're dividing the chatzer. So it's exactly, it flows beautifully into our Mishnah. So there's nothing really to discuss. It's very obvious why Bav Basra is immediately after Misach Bav Metzia. Now, the Torah Chaim writes that based on this, we can understand very well why the Misachta starts out with Hashutfin and not Shutfin. For instance, the Gemara in Misachas Kiddushin, right, starts out with Ha'isha Niknes, Ha'isha Niknes. And Tosus over there is bothered. Why is it Ha Isha Niknes? Why isn't it Isha Niknes? So Tosfos at the beginning of Maseches Kiddushin says, no, it's Ha Isha Niknes, because Ha refers back to something. It indicates that the Mishnah is going on something previously learned. So Tosfos says in Kiddushin, Ha Isha Niknes is going on the Pasuk of Ki Yikach Ish Isha. So since you know that Pasuk, how does that Kicha happen? So Ha Isha Niknes, and it goes and tells me how one accomplishes Kiddushin. So says the Taras Chaim, based on this Vart of Tosos, that it's going exactly on the previous Masechta, on the previous Parak that we just finished, you understand very well, it's Hashutfin. It's not just Tam Shutfin, it's Hashutfin, because it's going on the last Parak that we just learned. The Chassam Sofer says a little bit different. He says that the Hay is going on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ushvatam Tzedek Bein Ishu Vein Achiv Vein Gero, and that's referring to Diurim and Shechenim, and that's why it says Hashutfin, again, relating back to a Pasuk. If you find a Pasuk that discusses these dinim without too much explanation, so you could say that's what the Mishnah is building off of, and that's why it starts with a hey. Okay, so without further ado, let's begin the Masechta. Says the Mishnah, Hashutvin Sharatu Lasus Mechitza B'chatzer, if Shutvin decide to build a Mechitza in their jointly owned Chatzer, Boninas HaKosel Be'emtza, they build a wall in middle of the Chatzer, meaning they decide that they want to build a mechitza, which the Gemara is going to have two deos of what the word mechitza means. Either construct a wall, so they construct a wall, but they want to build a mechitza just means that they want to make some sort of division, and then we require them to construct a wall right in the middle. What does right in the middle mean? What if one owns 80% of the chatzah, the other one owns 20% of the chatzah? It doesn't seem fair to build a wall right in the middle. So says Rashi, no, ba'emtza means zeh nosein mechalko chatzi makom ov yakosel v'chein zeh. That's going to be the hemshech of the Mishnah, that each one gives from his place, from his area, half of the width of the kosel. So that's what it means ba'emtza. For instance, Makam Shinagu Livnos Gvil Gazis Kfisin Levenin, people, places where they have the minhag to use all these different types of bricks, which we just discussed in the last parak of Vamitsia, of Gvil, Gazis, Kfisin, and Levenim, Bonim HaKol Kminhag Medina. So you should build it all following the minhag of the Medina, of what the type of brick that everyone uses is. Gvil, Zenos, and Gimel Tfachim, Zenos, and Gimel Tfachim. If they're going to use the Gvil brick, which is a 6 tefach wide brick, these are extremely wide bricks, so each person has to give up from his own half of the chatzer 3 tefachim. Begazis, zenos in tefachayim u'mechza, zenos in tefachayim u'mechza. If they're going to use gazis, which is a total of 5 tefachim wide, so each one gives up 2.5 tefachim from his chatzer. Bekfisin, zenos in tefachayim, zenos in tefachayim. When it comes to kfisin, which we're going to explain what the difference between all these different bricks are, but it's 4 tefachim in total of width, so each one gives 2 tefachim of his space toward the building of the wall. Bilavainin, which is a total of 3 tefachim of width, zenos in tefach umechza, vizenos in tefach umechza. Each one gives 1.5 tefachim. Lefichach, because each one gives exactly half of the space of the wall, and each one contributes exactly 50% of the wall, im nafala kosel amakum vavanim shal shnehem. If the kosel were to fall down, so they would divide the space that the wall was built on, because we assume that they followed the standard procedure, which was building the wall on an even amount of space from each side. So therefore, if years later, we don't remember how they built it, and the wall falls down, we can assume it was we can assume it was done properly, and therefore each one is entitled to half of the space that the wall was built on, and each one is also entitled to half of the stones that went into building the wall. V'chein begina, and the same is true in a garden. Makom shenagu ligdar, mechayim inoso. If the minig is to build a fence in the gina, so one guy can be mechayev the other guy to build a fence, because that's the minag. The aval bebika, but when it comes to a bika, a valley where you plant grains and things of that nature, not a vegetable garden, makom shenagu shalo ligdar, where the minag is not to build, ain mechayev noso. You can't force the other guy to build. The Gemara is going to deal with the difficult language of the Mishnah, meaning it sounds like the Mishnah is saying two separate factors over here. One is we're distinguishing between a gina versus a bika, but at the same time, it seems to be distinguishing between makom shenahagu ligdar and makom where the minhag is not to build. So, meaning it would seem that it should all depend on minhag. Now, let's say you're in a bika, but the minhag is to build. So it would seem that you can force the other guy. So why do we give the example of a place that the minhag is not to build as a bika? So the Gemara is going to say that it's teaching us that the din, that a stam gina is makom shenagu ligdar. That a stam gina, normally in a gina, the minhag is to force the other guy to build, the minhag is to build a wall. In a bika, normally the minhag is not to have a wall. So that's what the Mishnah is teaching me by throwing in that extra factor. El imratz, so what if the minhag is not to build? So you can't force the other guy to build a wall between the properties. El imratz, konis l'tok shalo ubone. If you want a wall around your property in the bika, what you have to do is give 100% of the space that the wall is standing on from your own property. You can't build it on the property line where you're going to be taking away some space from the neighbor. Since you have no right to force him to build, you also have no right to take away any of his property to build the wall on. You need to build the wall entirely on your property. Aye, but what are you going to do years later? The wall's going to fall down, and the neighbor's going to say, it was a wall between our two properties. We shared that space, so give me half of that space, because that must have been, I probably contributed half of that space to begin with. What do you do to make sure that it remains known that when you built this wall, you built it entirely on your property? You didn't take any of your neighbor's property. So says the Mishnah, V'osa chazas mi bachutz. You make some sort of simen on the other side of the wall, and that simen is going to be an indication to anybody who ever sees this wall that this wall was built entirely on one person's property. And lefichach, since it was built entirely on one person's property, im nafal akosel, if the wall were to subsequently fall down, hamakom va'avanim shalo, then the space that the wall was built on, as well as the stones that were used to build the wall, belonged to the guy who built the wall. Im asu midas shneihem, bonim es akosel bem. So what if you're in a bika, and you can't force the other guy to build, but he wants to, he's interested. So they want to build a wall together. So then you could build it right on the property line where each one contributes an equal amount. Then what do you do about the fact that it's a place where the minhag is not to build? People are going to assume only one of them built it, not both of them. So what do? Va'osin chazas mikan u'mikan. You put a simen on both sides of the wall. When there's a simen on both sides of the wall, that's going to indicate to people that both partners contributed equally to the wall. And lefichach imnaf lakosel hamakom v'avanim shel shneihem. That's why it will turn out, if the wall falls down, the stones and the place that the wall was built on will belong to both parties. If you look at Tosos, Dibur Maskel Begvil, right? So Begvil Zenos in Gimel Tfachim, the Mishnah had said that when it comes to the six tefach wide Gvil stones, each person gives three tefachim of their own property. Says Tosos, V'hadlo kamar Begvil Vav Tefachim. Wouldn't that been a better way to say it? Instead of saying that when it comes to a Gvil brick, this one gives three and that one gives three. Just say, when it comes to a gvil brick, it's six tvachim. We already said that you build a be'emtza. So say, it's six tvachim. I'll figure out. I can figure out six divided by two is three. We could do that math in our heads. So why is it that the Mishnah has to use so many words to explain? Zenos in gimel, zenos in gimel. So it says, Tosos mishum delo niti lemeimar vav lekalechad. If it were to just say that shutfin that want to build a mechitza, they do it be'emtza, and then it were to say gvil is six tvachim, one might have thought it means that it's six tfachim each. at 6 tefachim from each party, in order to make sure that no one gets that misimpression, the Mishnah is as clear as possible that no, each one gives 3 because the total of the gevil is 6 tefachim. Fractosos weiter, vim tomer, mayesruch lemisni midas gevil, vegazis, kivin dan hakal kamina gamadina, kamashonagu kein yasu. Frank tells us, why does it matter? Why would the Mishnah have to tell me how wide each brick is? The Mishnah at the end anyway is going to say, Akol Kaminaga Medina, that you just follow what the building minhag is in that place, go into everybody else's chatzer, or anybody else's chatzer, measure their walls, and you'll see how wide the walls are supposed to be. What's the idea of a gvil has to be 6 tefachim? Maybe they build with gvil bricks in that place that are only 4 tefachim wide, and then you would have to follow that minhag. So what's this idea that 6 tefachim is like some sort of magic number if we're only going to follow the minhag medina anyway? Why does 6 tefachim matter? So it says, Tosos Yeshlomar Diem Nagu Yoser Mivav Begvil Lo Ya'aseh. The Mishnah is giving me a maximum. It says that the maximum reasonable amount of space to take up using gvil bricks is 6 tefachim. V'chein kulam. And the same is true with each of the bricks mentioned in the Mishnah. Like a shir ha-mufurash. You never go above the shir mentioned in the Mishnah. If the minig is to do less, that you would do. But the Mishnah is giving me a maximum, not a minimum. So if the minig is to have narrower walls, to have less wide walls, so then you would follow the minig. But wider gevil stones, the Mishnah is telling me you would not be meshubah to such a minhag. Why does the Gemara ask what the phrase Hakol Kaminaga Medina is coming to teach me? And the Gemara is going to answer that the phrase Hakol Kaminaga Medina is coming to teach me that if people typically build with Hutza V'dafna, with just like reeds and branches, a very thin, flimsy type of wall, that you would follow that minig as well. Why don't we say that there's another reason that the Mishnah has to say Hakol Kaminaga Medina? Say the more simple pshat. Hakol Kaminaga Medina means follow whatever the minig is. Why is the Gemara going to say the phrase Hakol Kaminaga Medina teaches me when they dafka use this flimsy type of material called Hutza V'dafna? So then you would do that as well. Just say Hakol Kaminaga Medina teaches me whatever they use, that's what you use. Whatever the minig is, that's what you follow. So it says Tosos V'nir L'Rabbeinu Tam did dafka b'Hutza V'dafna. Aval pachos mikan afilu nagu minig hedyotu. There is a bare minimum also. Hutza V'dafna is the bare minimum of what you're allowed to use. Anything flimsier than Hutza V'dafna, you want to build a paper wall? No good. Right? Hakol Kaminaga Medina, even if that's the Minaga Medina. The Minaga Medina only is within reason. Hutza V'dafna is the minimum of what you're allowed to use. Umochiach mikan, diyesh minhagim she'en lismochaleim. Very important idea in Tosos. Says Rabbi Natan, you see from here that there are certain minhagim that aren't real minhagim. There are certain minhagim that you're not allowed to rely on because there's something called the minhag shtus, right? Afilu heicha d'tanan, akol kaminaga medina. Even where the Mishnah makes a big deal to say follow the minhag, that's only if it's a viable minhag. But there are certain minhagim that are simply not viable minhagim, and therefore such minhagim are not to be followed. There is a major discussion in the Rishonim over here. We said that each one contributes half of the width of the property that the wall is going to stand on. So I give 3 tefachim from my property, the neighbor gives 3 tefachim from his property. That makes a lot of sense if we both have equal size chatzeros. What if I own 80% of it, he owns 20% of it? Do I still have to give only half of the property and he has to give the full half in order to build the wall? Or maybe we should divide it 80-20. Maybe it should be proportional to how large our chatzeros are. So the Shita Mukbetzes over here says that even when the chalakim are not equal, even when we have different size properties, still your bona be'emtza. Everyone gives exactly half of the space of the wall. Why? So the Yad Ramah explains, because what's the wall there to protect from? The wall is to protect from something called hezek ri'iya, that privacy. It's to protect a person's privacy. Regardless of the size of the chatzer, privacy is the same for both. Right? The hezek ri'iya is equal no matter how big the chatzer is going to be. Just the privacy issue is going to be the same for both. That's what the Shidun Betzah says. That's how the Yad Ramah explains it. The Rashash, however, writes as follows. The Rashash says this halacha that each one gives half is only when they have equal size pieces of land. Aval kishechelek echad gadol mishel chavero nosn lufi ha'erach sheyesh lekol echad ve'echad chelek bo. And the Rashash says, but if one guy owns 80% of the land and the other one owns 20%, so when it comes to building a wall, the wall is built 80% on one guy's land, 20% on the other guy's land. V'domel lahadil lekamand of zayin degovin lufi mamon. So we're going to have gemaras later on about paying for police force and taxes and things of that nature, and you pay based on how much interest you have in it, how much money you have to protect. Govin lefi mamon. So over here as well, you have a different size property, so you're going to have to give up to protect a little more to protect the larger size property. The guy who has the smaller size property will have to give up a little less. That's the machlokas. Shidim Gvetzes on the one hand, the Rashash on the other hand. The Gra in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Kufn and Zayin, Siv Gimel, brings a raya to the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, which is that you build it be'emtza, even if one of them has a greater stake in it, from the case of Makif and Nikif, which we're going to have in a couple of blot from now, where you have one guy surrounding another guy, where you say that that if one guy builds the fourth wall around the property, you pay for the even though he already paid for the kosel, when Megalgin loves Hakol, we make him pay for everything once that fourth wall is built. So you see from the sugi of Makif and Nikif that you pay for Hezek Re'ia more than his chelek in the Sados, because the assumption is that the Makif has more property than the Nikif has. And nevertheless, it seems that we divide it evenly in that sugya. The Rashash, for his part, says that he doesn't agree with that Gra, because after all, the sugya of Makif and Nikif never says how large the fields are. It could be that the fields surrounding the middle field are much smaller fields, and therefore altogether only equal the size of the smaller field. We don't know that one is larger than the other, so it's arva chavra tzarech, right? If you're going to bring a raya from there, who says that over there we're talking about different size fields? And last point, the Nesivos in Simon Kufn and Nun Chesiv Gimel says, let's say you assume that you always build it be'emtza, like the Yad Ramah explained. Why do you build it be'emtza? Because a hezek re'iyah is the same for one guy as it is for the other guy. What if they both guys agreed to build a kosel in a bika? Now, what are you protecting in the bika? In the bika, we're going to see that there's no hezek re'iyah. You don't do anything private in the middle of your grain field, right? So what are you protecting in the bika? So we're going to see on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to say what you're really protecting is ayin hara. That people are going to be looking at your success. They're going to be looking at all your produce and say, wow, it's so wonderful, and it's going to be an ayin hara. So wait a second. So if I have a large field and my neighbor has a small field, so who has more at risk over here from the ayin hara? I have more at risk. And therefore, maybe when it comes to both guys contributing to a fence to divide fields in a bika, maybe then it should be proportional to the size of my field. When it comes to a chatzer, where it's not about what's growing there, it's only about hezek re'iyah, it's about privacy. So privacy in a small field is the same as privacy. Someone who lives in a big house, his privacy is no bigger than someone who lives in a small house. Privacy is the same either way. But when it comes to a bika, where what you're protecting is ayin hara, you're protecting against the ayin hara that someone's going to see all the success that a person has. So that's a totally different story. One more issue, and that is the issue of mechila. Before we begin the Gemara, the Rush says over here that if, let's say, for years, it went without building a fence. They went years and years and no one ever built a fence and no one ever said anything. So the Rush says, you can't say I have a chazaka that you were mochel me. Because after all, we didn't have, let's say Reuven comes to Shimon and says, okay, I want to build a fence now. Shimon says, what do you mean? We never had a fence. So obviously you were mochel for all these years. So I'm mochzuk in it, that you were mochel me. Says Rush, there's no such chazaka, no such mechila. Because there's only a chazaka when one guy is stands to lose and the other guy doesn't stand to lose. So if the one who stands to lose didn't say anything for years, then maybe you have a chazaka that he was mochel. But where both guys stand to lose, so it could be that in such a case, it's not shayach chazaka, because there's no reason why one guy should have made a macha'a any more than the other guy. And also, he says, by hezek re'iyah of a chatzer, where it's impossible that you're not going to see what your friend is doing in his chatzer at any given time, because you're constantly out in the chatzer, it's like the hezek of what the Gemara is going to say of Kutra and Beis HaKise, the Hezek of smoke and the Hezek of a Beis HaKise, which the Gemara in Daf Chav Gimel is going to say you never have Chazakos for such Hezek. Because even if a person tolerates it for a certain amount of time, the Hezek is so strong that at any point you could say, okay, I just had enough of this. It's never assumed to be a Mechila forever. When the Hezek is major, it's something that you feel every single time, so it could be he had a lot of patience, but it's never assumed to be an indefinite Mechila. So we never have such a concept that there's an assumption of Mechila. However, if both guys actually are mochel each other, if we have Edim, that the two guys, Rush says, if there are Edim, that they were mochel, zelo zeh, then they're not allowed to go back and on their Mechila and force and have one guy force the other guy to build the kosel. There is a discussion, the Russian Simon Hay says that if one of them wants to build the kosel entirely on his property, but he doesn't want to use the fancy bricks, so the minigus to use gvil bricks. So one guy says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build Hutza V'dafna wall entirely on my property. There's no Hezek Re'iyah, so what's he going to do? He can't force me to do anything. What's he going to say? What's his altaina? My neighbor's going to say, no, I want a stronger wall between us. Well, the whole reason you can force me to build a wall is because of Hezek Re'iyah. There's no Hezek Re'iyah anymore, so you can't force me to do anything. So maybe I could have such a chap. So the Rush says that no, even if you decide to build in your own wall with Hutza V'dafna, there's a possibility, he raises the suffix, that maybe the guy can the neighbor can still force you to go build with Kvil and Gazes. Why? The whole issue is Hezek Re'iyah. So Rav Asher Weiss explains, he has a beautiful sefer on Masechet Sfat Basra, he has a Minchas Asher on Masechet Sfat Basra, he explains that the idea is that really the takana of building a wall was because of Hezek Re'iyah. But once they made a takana to build a wall, the chiv changed from a chiv of Hezek Re'iyah to a chiv of building a wall and of building a specific type of wall. That became the chiv. So once the nature of the chiv, now it's there to address the concern of Hezek Re'iyah, yes. That's why that was the reason for the takana originally. But once we have a takana that I can force you to build a wall, and the rules of the takana are that I can force you to build a certain type of wall, I can say, I'm not happy with you building Hutza V'dafna on your own property. I want you to build a Gvil Gazis wall, whatever it is, whatever the minig of the type of brick to use is, because I don't want to deal with a wall that's going to fall down tomorrow into my property and then I'm going to have to clear it away and I'm going to have to sue you. I want a wall that's going to stand for many years and it's going to be a legitimate wall. In fact, Mukhe Yosef quotes in the name of the Ra'ah that even if the guy wants to build the brick wall, which is the minig of Medina, entirely on his property, the neighbor can still make a macha'a. Say, no, I want it half on my property too. Why would he want such a thing? So the Mukhi Yosef says, because maybe he wants to lean on it, maybe he wants to hang hooks on it or something. He wants to use it for whatever. He wants to play, what do you call it?
Handball
against it, whatever it is. He wants to use the wall. So if he wants to use the wall, so he has the right to say, I want it partially on my property as well. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Savrua, my mechitza. What does the word mechitza in this Mishnah mean? The Mishnah starts by saying, two guys want to make a mechitza in the chatzer. So we assumed, what does mechitza mean? Guda, a mechitza means a wall, that if two guys want to build a wall, you have to build it in the middle. Kidetanya, mechitza sakerem shenifta. How do we know mechitza means wall? Because we have a brisa that talks about an issue of kilei akerem. What's the issue of kilei akerem? You're not allowed to have grapes, vines, growing within 4 amos of grain, and if you do, both the grapes and the grain become aser mishum kilei akerem. It's an issue of klayim, they both become aser ba'ana. So mechitzas akerem shenifritza. Let's say, but if you have a wall between them, even though they're within 4 amos of each other, the wall dividing between the grain and the kerem, that stops the iser, it stops the problem of kilei akerem from happening. So let's say you have a mechitzas akerem, you have a wall in the next to the vineyard. Shenifritza, it falls down, it breaks. Omerlo Gidor, so you tell the guy, build it up, I need that wall back there. Chazar v'nivritza, then goes and falls again. Omerlo Gidor, you tell him, I want you to build that wall again. Nisyai shemen of lo gadra, if he gives up and says, I'm not going to build it anymore, hareza kidesh, now all of the grain is going to become aser, mishum kilei akerem, the grapes as well, everything's going to become aser, mishum kilei akerem, provided that since the wall has fallen, it has grown 1/200th of its growth, because otherwise if it's less than that, it's batel in the b'masayim. But if it's grown 1/200th of its growth, since the walls have fallen down, the entire grains and grapes are all aser bahana, the chayiv bachri yusan, and the guy is going to be chayiv to pay for it. Now, which guy is going to be chayiv?
So it says to us on the bottom, Omer lo gadar, you tell him to build. Who do you tell to? Who's the mazik over here? Aren't both guys getting ruined? The guy who owns the vines are getting ruined. The guy who owns the grains are getting ruined. Everything's getting ruined. So is one guy a mazik on the other more than the other is on him? So it says to us, yes. Pirush lebalakerem. It's the balakerem's responsibility to build the wall. V'hu ha-mazik! And he's the one that's considered the mazik. Because why do we need a four amos space? The four amos space is the space you need to properly serve your kerem, to properly work on your kerem. And even Rabbi Yossi, who we just quoted in Maseches BaMetzia, that says al hanizik laharchikas atzmo, that it's a nizik's responsibility to keep himself away from damage. As we just pointed out, when it's direct damage from one guy to the other, then no one holds it's the Nizik's responsibility to protect himself from damage. So Mela, it's the Chiyuv of the Bal HaKerem to keep away, and it's the Bal HaKerem who's going to be considered the Mazik in this case. He's the one that's going to be Chayiv. Why is it Nisya'ish Hemen of Logadra? Why don't we just say he didn't build it? What's the Lashon of Yish over here? That he gave up and didn't build it. So it says Tulsa, it's very important yesod. You see that it's dafka if the Bal HaKerem was nisya'ish. If the Bal HaKerem had in mind, you know, I'm going to build it. I just don't have time right now. I'm running here, I'm running there, but I'm going to build it. It doesn't become aser. Unbelievable. You would imagine Kilei HaKerem is an issue of reality, that the Kerem and the grain are growing right next to each other, and that makes it usr. Says Tosfos, no, it's only if it's Nichalei that they're growing together. It's only if he gives up from building a wall, he doesn't plan on building a wall, that the growing together becomes usr. Right? Very similar to the din of Huchshur L'Kabel Tumma, Ki Yitein Dum Yeduch Yutan, Ki Yutan Dum Yeduch Yitein, that not, it, a fruit does not become Huchshur L'Kabel Tumma when a liquid hits it. It becomes Huchshur L'Kabel Tumma when a liquid hits it and you're okay with it. And if you weren't okay with it, it doesn't become Huchshur L'Kabel Tumma. Very similar over here. The produce doesn't become Kilei HaKerem when it grows together next to each other. It becomes Kilei HaKerem when it grows together and the Bal HaKerem is okay with it. If the Bal HaKerem was never okay with it, then it would never become Aser. Now Rashi over here says, Hareza Kidesh, if it's Hosif Masayim, right? We said 1/200th of its growth. Now why don't we say, it doesn't grow 1/200th at a time. It's not like it spurts up. You know, every like 5 days, you just expect it to just, you know, go up a little bit, and then stop, and then another 5 days later go up a little bit. It doesn't work that way. It grows very gradually. So at any given moment, it grows less than 1/200th of its growth. So as tells us in Masechta Baba Kama, why don't we assume Kama Kama Batel? It grows 1/10,000th Batel. Now it's all Mutter again. 1/10,000th, and it keeps on going. It should always be Batel. So Tulsa says in Maseches Baba Kama, that which we say that B'masayim Hosim Masayim is Asur, we don't say Kama Kama Batel, because the halacha by Kama Kama Batel, let's say the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and Dafayim Gimel talks about you pour wine into other wine, you pour Asur wine into Mutter wine. So when do we assume Kama Kama Batel? You drop a little in and you stop. You drop a little in and you say, that's when we say Kama Kama Batel. But as so long as you're pouring straight, you don't assume Kama Kama Batel. If it's going continuously, you don't say it becomes Batel, because when do you draw the line? When do you stop and say it's become Batel? You only stop when there's a logical place to stop. But if it's a continuous pouring, and over here it's a continuous growing, so you're not going to say Kama Kama Batel. There's an interesting... Tosfos, Dibur Masa, very important Tosfos, V'chayiv Bach Riyusa, and then we'll try to run down the rest of the Daf. V'chayiv Bach Riyusa, says Tosfos, Yur Chayiv, the Bal HaKerem is Chayiv, Afalgav the Hezek Shein Nikolo Shmei Hezek. Tosfos asks a very important question. We have a klal that Hezek Shein Nikolo Shmei Hezek. If I damage you in a way that's not recognizable that I did any damage, I'm not going to be Chayiv to pay. Does your grain look exactly the same as it did before the wall fell down? Absolutely. There's nothing that looks different about your grain than it did before. So why am I chayav to pay for your grain? Granted, it's aser, because it's kilei HaKerem, but it looks the same. So isn't that hezek sheino nikker? So it says Tosfos near Lari, the high chash of hezek nikker. No, this is called hezek nikker. You know why? Shari nikker ushu klayim kisharo agafanim besada. Because you can tell that it's klayim when you look at the situation in the field. When you see grapes growing, vines growing right next to the grain, you see that there's an issue of klayim. If you look at the grain all alone and you were to cut the grain and just look at the grain, you could examine it, it will look exactly the same. But as it's situated in the field, you can see that there's a problem over there. And therefore it's called hezek nikker. So why is when you're metame someone else's stuff, is that not called hezek nicker? When you see a sheretz on top of something that was previously tar, don't you see that there's a problem? You see a sheretz on top of it. Why is that called hezek she'enu nicker? Says Tosos, to me yodea im hukhsharu. Because how do you know if the item that was tahar ever became hukhshar lekabel tumah? Meaning even by seeing the predicament, seeing the situation, sheretz on top of taros, you still don't know that it became tameh. Because if the taros were never hukhshar lekabel tumah, you could put all the shratzim you want on top of it, they're never going to become tameh. Aval ein lomar dahachinami havi hezek she'enu nicker. Tosos says, don't say pshat in our gemara that it's really a hezek she'enu nicker. And you know why the Baal HaKerem has to pay? It's a knas, a penalty that the Chachamim imposed on him because he's being mazik somebody else's property, and we're afraid that if we don't make him pay for it, he's going to continuously do this to other people. Right? Maybe that's pshat. Really, it is hezek she'enu nicker. So really, midaraisa, you shouldn't be chayiv. But the Chachamim made him chayiv because we're afraid if we don't make him chayiv, he's going to do this constantly. He'll just go around doing this to other people. Says, you don't say such pshat here. Why not? Because over here, he's not only hurting the other guy. He's hurting himself as well. It's not only his friend's grains that are becoming usher, it's his own grapes that are becoming usher. So since he's hurting himself as well, it doesn't make sense to make a knas that, oh, he's going to go around doing this to everybody. By doing this to everybody, he's going to be repeatedly shooting himself in the foot over and over again. So that makes no sense that a guy would do that, and therefore there's no way that we could say that this is a knas. Based on that, the Shara Melech in Hilchas Chavul Mazik deals with the following shaila. A woman borrows a fleishiga cheres pat, klei cheres, from her neighbor, and she forgot that it was a fleishiga pat. She sticks a milchik spoon right into the fleishiga pat, and she wants to return the pat and say, look, it's hezek she'enu nicker. Right? So we're going to say, no, it's hezek she'enu nicker, but we should make a knas on her, that she should be chayiv to pay, because otherwise you can always go trafing up other people's pots and get out of paying because of hezek she'enu nicker. So we should make a knas. Shara Melech says, based on this Tosfos, we're not going to be mechayiv her to pay. Why are we not going to be mechayiv her to pay? Because not only did she trafe up the pot, she trafed up her spoon. The spoon belongs to her. So if she was trafing up her own thing, she was trafing up her own spoon, and then that's going to be worse. Now, the exact case is a little bit difficult. Is that really called hezek she'enu nicker anyway? I mean, you look at the pot, you don't see any hezek. But if you eat something from the pot, the whole point is that tam was transferred, that there was tam from the milchik spoon that went into the pot. So now you can, it's min b'she'enu mino, the flesh with the milchik. So maybe that's called nicker because the tam is nicker. So anyway, that's a discussion. Prima gadam as in psicha kalalas, but not for now. Okay, so that's one of the issues over here. Let's try to just finish up the daf, and if we have time, we'll get back to this. It says Gemara Vayter. Time with the ratzu, halo ratzu ein mechayiv noso. Sounds like the only reason that we're mechayiv them to build a wall is because they want to. But if they don't want to, they don't have to build a wall in the chatzar. Going back to our Mishnah, alma hezek riyah lo shmei hezek. That implies that hezek riyah is not real hezek. It doesn't have the status of real damage. So says Gemara, the ema mechitza plukta. Maybe we should say that no. When it says if they want to build a mechitza, it doesn't mean they want to build a wall. Maybe the word mechitza just means division. If you have two guys that own a chatzar jointly and they want to divide the chatzar, then we force them to build a wall. Says Tosfos, why would you assume the word mechitza means division? The word mechitza always means wall. So Tosfos says, because we have a lot of kashas on the translation of wall, so we're going to have to look for an alternative translation. But Tosfos acknowledges the normal translation of the word mechitza really is wall. But anyway, says Gemara, maybe mechitza is plukta. Ah, you wonder, where do you ever have such a thing? Right, and they have such a pasuk where the word mechitza means a division. And then the Mishnah would be saying that as long as they want to divide their chatzer, they have to build a wall to divide it. Alma hezek riyah shmei hezek. So that would be a riyah that hezek riyah is substantial enough that one neighbor can force the other neighbor to help him build a wall in order to avoid the hezek riyah. Even though all they had agreed upon is dividing their chatzeros, Reuven could tell Shimon, sorry, not good enough to divide it. I want a wall now that we have separate chatzeros because I don't want you looking at me all the time. But if that's what the Mishnah was saying, why does it say Lashon of Shratzu La'asos Mechitza? That they had agreed to do what? It should have said Shratzu Lachzos. They had agreed to divide. It doesn't say that. It says they had agreed to make something. What did they agree to make if they had only agreed to divide? Elamai Guda. So it must be that the word Mechitza means a wall, that they had agreed to make a wall. Bonanes HaKosel, but wait a second. Then how does the next line make any sense? If they had agreed to make a wall, Bonanes HaKosel. What do you mean? It should say, Bonin Osomi Bayile. It should say, if they agreed to make a wall, they build it. What's it? The wall that they agreed to build. So itana oso have a mina b'msipas b'alma. Now, had it said oso, I would have thought even just land markers to divide the two chateros are good enough. Kamashmal and koso. That's why it has to tell me that no, a wall means a real wall, a strong wall, a legitimate wall. Said that you build a wall in the middle. Pshita, where else would you build a wall? Of course you build it in the middle. Maybe the situation is Reuven convinced Shimon that it's time to divide and build a wall. I might have thought that he could say, look, I only agreed to give up on owning the entire place jointly, so I agreed to divide, but I never actually agreed to have such a major division over here. Kamash Milan. Therefore it comes to teach me not so, that when you agree, it means you agree full-heartedly. Now, frankly, Gemara, wait a second. The Hezek Ria Lav Shmei Hezek, is it possible to suggest that Hezek Ria doesn't count as real Hezek? Is it possible to suggest that that the Mishnah means that if they agree to build a wall, then you have to build a wall, but if they agree just to divide, you can't force them to build a wall? Is it possible to suggest that Hezek Ria is not something that we're Mechuyav to watch out for? Tashma, the Mishnah says, Vaiter V'chein Begina, that the same applies in a gina. Says the Gemara, gina shiny. No, gina is different. Kid Rabbi Abba, Dam Rabbi Abba, Ravunam Rav, Asalad and Lama Bistei Chaver, Bishashi, Omedes Bikomase. By a gina, we have the rule of Rabbi Abba, which says that you're not allowed to stand there looking at your friend's successful produce. You sit there looking at it, it's the Nayin Hara, it's very bad for him. So by a gina, you have that concern in a very major form that the guy is sitting there staring at his friend's vegetable garden. So because of that, we're much more makbid on having a wall in a gina than we would be on having a wall in a chatzer. So when it comes to a gina, I can force you to build a wall. When it comes to a chatzer, I can't force you to build a wall because the hezekri is not so major. I have a chayin katani, but the Mishnah says v'chein begina, which implies that the rule of a gina is the same as the rule of a chatzer. So doesn't that imply that I can force you to build a wall even in a chatzer, that hezekriya is real hezek even in a chatzer? No, when we say v'chein, it's only going on the types of bricks. Whether I can force you to build a wall or not is different between a chatzer and a gina. A gina I can, a chatzer maybe I can't. But when we say v'chein begina, that the rules are similar, it's only in regards to what kind of bricks to use that we follow the minhag medina and how large each brick should be. That's all we're talking about. Tashma v'iter araya, kosel chatzer shenafal mechayvenos olivnos adal ramos. We say if a kosel between our two chatzeros falls down, I can force you to help me rebuild it. Isn't that a raya that hezek re'ia is shmei hezek? Because I can force you to build a wall. And says Gemara, no, nafal shiny. No, the only reason I can force you in this case is because we once had a wall. So since the wall fell down, I can force you to rebuild it. But if we never had one, I can't force you to build one. Frankly, Gemara, the karila my karila. That's such an obvious chilik. What was the mission? What was the Gemara thinking in bringing such a raya from a case of nafal? Obviously, if they've already had a wall, it's a different story. And says Gemara, safe that's shrichle. No, the chiddush is as follows: midalad amos lemala ein mechayven oso. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though the wall used to be 10 amos high, I can only force you to rebuild it up until 4 amos. I can only force you to rebuild it up until the point where there's not going to be any more hezek re'ia. Tashma, another raya. I can force you to build a guard post for the chatzer. What's the guard post for? Isn't it to keep people out so that people aren't looking? So you see, hezekriya is consequential because you're allowed to force the neighbor to build something to make sure people don't peer in. So says Umar, hezek the rabim shiny. When people are peering in from the public, that's something that everyone agrees is consequential. But it's just neighbors, one guy to the other, so maybe that's inconsequential. Really? When it's just one guy, it's inconsequential? Tashma, you're not allowed to divide a chatz. You can't force a guy to divide a chatz unless each person is going to get 4 amos, which implies that if each guy is going to get 4 amos, you do divide it. My lav bekosel, doesn't that mean that I can force you to divide it with a wall because my hezek re'ia is legitimate? Says Marlov, doesn't mean a wall, just means a divider. Tashma, another raya. Hachalonos ben milamala ben milamata ben mikonekt and dalet amos. When I have a window, you have to distance your wall from my window. Either has to be 4 amos higher than my window, at least 4 amos lower than my window, and four amos across from my window. V'tani alam milmalin kadei shlo yatzit v'yira milmatan kadei shlo yamud v'yira. Why does the wall have to be so much higher or so much lower than my window so that you can't look into my house? Mikenegdin kadei shlo yafil. The reason it can't be right next to my window is not to darken my whole house. But what do you see? That I don't want you looking into my house. Must be Hezekriya is legitimate. Says Gemara, no, Hezek debay is shiny. Hezekriya inside my house is different. That's a much more private area. Tashma, last one. Damrav nachan amr shmuel. Gaga samul chatzar chaveru oslo makal gavala dal ramos. If I have a gag next to my friend's chatzar, I have to make a makav that's four amos high on the gag so that we don't peer into each other. Says Gemara, so don't you see Hezekriya is called Hezek? Shiny yasam damle bal chatzar the bal gag. No, maybe over there it's different because the bal chatzar could say to the bal gag, lididi kvieli tashmishi. I'm in my chatzar all the time. Lididach lo kvielach tashmishtach. When are you on your roof? I don't know. It's very erratic when you're on your roof. V'lo yadana behe ina slikas va'asis did stanaminach. I never know when you're going to be on your roof and when I have to be careful. When we both have chatzeros, I know you're always in your chatzar, I'm always in my chatzar, I know to always be careful. But I have a false sense of security since it's a roof, because the roof, most of the time you're not there. So I'm never going to really know how to protect myself, and that's why the Hezekri is more consequential in that case. Okay, but Shem will pick up from there tomorrow.